L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Any good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase Adimes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Elijah Campbell manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. D-Mace, what's up?
What's going on, man? I got some, when I'm not on, I listen to you guys, whether it be the morning show, midday show, this show, or the afternoon show with Jared and Caroline. I'm an Ian. And, you know, when you're listening to it, you sort of pick little things out of each radio show that you want to comment on. Mm-hmm. And it may not necessarily be from the host. It may be from callers, or it may be from people that text in, because we got a lot of people that text in, a lot of people that call each one of the shows, and to weigh in on certain topics. More importantly, they weighed in on the Titans topic. But I am getting really irritated at how quickly people dismiss Derrick Henry. It irks me to no end how they quickly dismiss Derrick Henry. And their line that they always go to is, well, when he was hurt, we still ran the ball well. No, we didn't. If you add up, and I can get into this later too, but if you add up what Hilliard and Dante did, it still didn't equal up to what Derrick Henry did. I'm tired of this notion that, oh, we were the same running team without Derrick Henry. The hell you were? No, you were not. This wasn't the same. Derrick Henry averaged 117 yards in 9 games. Together, Foreman and Hilliard didn't average that. Derrick Henry had 10 touchdowns. Together, they didn't have that. Together, they didn't combine to have more 100-yard games than Derrick Henry had. So I'm tired of this notion that, oh, you know, Derrick Henry isn't what makes that team go. He is. That's like me saying, and I thought about this, that's like me saying, you know, my 5 years when I became a starter, and I had really good numbers. That's like me saying, oh, you know, I was the engine that made that run. No, it was Eddie George. Without Eddie George, we wouldn't have been able to do the things that we were doing. So I hoped and prayed that Eddie was there every game and that he had a good game. You know why? Because it took the pressure off of me in the passing game. I don't understand why people so quickly forget about this. And I don't understand why the Titans are so quickly to forget about it either. They're praising, they're putting all this praise everywhere else, and they're slowly forgetting about what Derrick Henry has done and what he will continue to do if he stays healthy. And then people go back to the foot. Well, nobody screamed about Robert Woods and coming in here with an ACL. Did they? People praised John Robinson for getting him. And I praised him too. I just hope Robert Woods hold up throughout the season. If he does, it's a great acquisition. I think it's a really good one. But people get on Derrick Henry because of his foot, and he still averaged over 4 yards a carry when he came back in a playoff game. I don't understand this. I really don't. So that's my rant for right now, but I'll get on it some more later.
I mean, there's – look.
And I got numbers. I got receipts. I got numbers to bear it all.
Let me just say this, Derrick, and now you know why there are these fake debate shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that tend to scream the loudest, and it's no different on sports talk radio, the ones that tend to scream the loudest get the most attention. Does that mean that they're the best? It's the best show? It's the right information? No, it just means they're louder than everybody else, and so people know who they are. Derrick Henry, is he loud?
No.
Is he on social media?
No.
Post him?
I saw him doing some pretty good chin-ups the other day.
Well, I mean, he does post some impressive workout videos.
I wish I could do those workouts, I'm telling you.
If I looked like him and could do what he does, I'd be posting those videos too. Like
absolutely.
24 hours a day. In fact, I would be putting on, what do? Set an appointment for every hour just to release another video.
I used to have some fun. I used to find, they're in the hockey locker rooms. Mm-hmm. Outside in the hallway, you do the media. Peter Laviolette used to stand underneath the chin-up bar, and he just happened to be under there. But they have a chin-up bar just in case anybody wants to do a workout, injured players, whatever, outside the training room. And, you know, the media is gathered around. And I don't know what city we're in, but I said, anybody who wants to ask a question to Coach Laviolette has to do 5 chin-ups.
Oh, wow.
And they all kind of looked like, well, what?
Do anybody still do chin-ups?
I was thinking to myself, could I do 5 chin-ups? I don't know.
But it just goes to he does everything the right way. He just goes about his business. He's the best running back in the league. We took a call, and you may have heard it, and maybe this helped put you in the mood that you're in, and I'm happy for it. We had a caller, who's the best player on the team? And Willie and I both together, we were like, Derrick Henry. He's like, no, A.J. Brown. We're like, no, Derrick Henry. No, A.J. Brown. And like, no, Derrick Henry is the best player on the team. Like, and I think it goes to a little bit of what you're saying is Derrick Henry just goes about his business. He's the best running back in the league. He's the best running back in the league. He's not the best player on the team. He's the best running back in the league. That's how far. Is A.J. Brown the best wide receiver in the league?
No.
No. He's the best wide receiver on this team.
Exactly.
Is he a top 5 receiver in the league?
No.
Is he a top 10 receiver in the league?
No.
Is he a top 15 receiver in the league?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see. That's projections. That's maybe in a different offense. Stats say he is not. He's not even close to that. But okay, let's go with that. But that's what, I mean, to your point, people are saying heaping praise on A.J. Brown, and he, quite honestly, we're talking about something he hasn't done yet. 70 catches is his ceiling right now. Right now. Mm-hmm. Now, does everybody feel like that's what he is? No. I say most people feel like there's a whole lot more to see from A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the facts. Is Derrick Henry had a 1,000-yard season?
Several.
Is Derrick Henry had a 1,500-yard season?
Several.
Is Derrick Henry had a 2,000-yard season?
Absolutely.
Okay. He's been there, done it. Okay. The proof is there. It's not a matter of an opinion. It's there. Like, we don't have to project with Derrick Henry. But I see your point because, I mean, we did take a phone call that said, who's the best player on the team? And Willie and I together was like, Derrick Henry. He's like, no, A.J. Brown. We're like, no, Derrick Henry. And so, But I think, you know, I don't think everybody feels that way either.
No.
But right now, AJ, I don't want to say he's loud. Mm-hmm. He's just in the news. Derek isn't. And that's the difference.
Yeah. And my thing is, if I had to rank these guys, you know, from offensively to defensively and then as a whole, if you break them down each group, on offense, it would be Derrick Henry. And then it would be A.J. Brown. And then it would be Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you know, people would probably put Ryan second because he is the quarterback. But me, I look at it from this standpoint. You know, Derrick Henry affects the game in ways it's the numbers don't even bear. You know, as a defensive coordinator, when Derrick Henry is on the field and when he's off the field, ask him. Ask a defensive coordinator. Ask Mike Vrabel, what are you trying to do when you go into a game if they got a running back? You're trying to what? Stop the run. Every defensive coordinator around the league tries to stop the run first. You can have a big-time wide receiver. Absolutely. But that defense is trying to stop the run first with that six- or seven-man front, so they don't have to bring that safety down. Then they think about stopping the pass. But if you got a stud in the backfield like that, nobody goes in and say, well, let's stop the pass first, and then we'll think about the run second. No. They say, let's stop the run first, and let's think about the pass second. Because the run dictates and takes over games if you can't stop it. You impose your will. Ask those offensive linemen up front. They want to impose their will on individuals. And you can do it when Derrick Henry's in the backfield. I know Foreman had a really good season. And I know Hilliard came off the bench and did what he needed to do. But both of them combined isn't Derrick Henry. And that offense still suffered without having Derrick Henry in the lineup. A.J. Brown is a terrific receiver, and he should be paid the way he wants to get paid, whether it be here or somewhere else. But let's not fool anyone. When Derek's on the field, it makes A.J.'s job a little easier. It doesn't matter who's on the field with Derrick Henry. As long as that offensive line is blocking well, Derrick Henry's going to run well. You can put nine men on the front. He'll find a way to get through eventually, and he's proven it. It's proven. We've seen it. So that's not something I'm fabricating. We've seen it. That's where AJ has to get. And when I talk about AJ, it's not, I talk about him based upon what I've seen. Does he have the potential to be one of these top tier wide receivers? Absolutely. You see it here and there, but it's not consistent enough. And that's not, I'm not making this up. I'm just looking at every game that he's played in. It's not consistent enough. And I'm pretty sure that's probably how the Titans are looking at it as well. Yes, you have the potential to be a top five receiver, but it's not consistent. Derek is consistent when he's on the field. I'll pull out all the receipts and show you. Derek is consistent. He's been consistent from day one, even when people say, oh, he's not the, he, they shouldn't have drafted him. The guy was still averaging over 4 yards a carry, splitting time. Did he have to adjust his game some? Yes, and it made him even better. So those that are screaming that don't know football, that don't understand it, please go look at it. Look at what he's done since he's been in the NFL. This kid is special. And the Titans realize that. Well, I hope they still realize that.
We'll come back. You haven't been able to react to the news of Deebo Samuel asking the 49ers for a trade. And we know those four receivers that we've been talking about for the last several weeks have been lumped in there together. And the first to strike was Deebo and telling the organization, hey, I want out of here. We'll get your reaction to that. And what does that mean for A.J. Brown? What does that mean moving forward? We'll do all that on the other side. Darren Donick, Chase, and D-Base, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville. Simmons Bank Open. Text in the keyword golf right now, 615-737-1025. You'll have a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy this event in style. It includes food and drinks plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, balls. Again, text golf right now to 615-737-1025.
1025 for your chance to win. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. So you've started off the show saying, hey, you know, don't forget about Derrick Henry. He's pretty good too. But now we've learned that Deebo Samuel has told the 49ers he was the first to strike. And we are wondering, of those four receivers, who was going to be the first to strike either a deal, and we'll see what their, you know, what their market value is, or this. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want out. I want to trade. What have you made of the whole Deebo Samuel and the 49ers? What happened a couple of days ago?
With the whole leak, audio, video, or was it really leaked?
You talking about Deebo Samuel and yeah. A.J. Brown and his mom?
Yeah, or are you just talking just basically the contract situation? Okay, let's go with the contract situation first.
Well, we knew those four guys want a new deal.
Exactly.
Right?
And they deserve a new deal, all four of them.
Have control. I mean, they just do. The CBA allows them to have control. If they don't show up to training camp, they're going to start getting fined.
But
the new CBA says if you don't comply and you sit out, then you won't be an unrestricted free agent. You'll become a restricted free agent.
And I think it's after a certain amount of games. They got to report. They can hold out for, I don't know, the first five or six games, because that's what happened to Le'Veon, and people thought Le'Veon Bell was coming back. And eventually he didn't, which he messed up everything for himself. Had he come back and just played the last few games, he would have became an unrestricted free agent. I'm pretty sure that's in the back of the minds of Deebo, DK, McLaurin, as well as A.J. Brown, that if indeed they do have to go into an extended holdout, which I don't think they want to, neither does their respective teams, that they come back in time to get a credited season in the National Football League, so then they can become a unrestricted free agent. Deebo's situation, it's kind of a tricky situation, because Deebo is really good, but Deebo has more of a potential than any one of these receivers at getting hurt because of what that offense ask him to do every game. Just about, he runs, he's in the backfield, he's catching screen passes, he's being a receiver, he's essentially a Swiss Army knife. You just throw him just about anywhere and he's going to get the job done.
You know what's interesting though, what we don't know behind the scenes, like, we all view him that way, right? We all would say, wow, what value. I'm guilty. Because when we were doing our rankings, I was like, oh, I would have put Deebo 1, A.J. 2 because of what you just laid out. But what we don't know behind the scenes, while that's all great, that we all admire that and we think it's really cool, like, he's a Swiss Army
knife. How does San Francisco look at it?
San Francisco may be going, yeah, but, you know, he may be getting prone to getting hurt now. And, you know, they may be viewing that as he's also – or Deebo, maybe his camp may be saying, you're putting me in harm's way.
Well, and that's why I say,
right?
This is –
San Francisco's like, we value as this. Look, we can have you do anything. And Debo's camp may be going, yeah, and you're putting my client in harm's way, and now he's going to start getting hurt, and then you're going to use that against him.
Well, that's why I said it's sort of like a double-edged sword in a sense that, yes, he can do all these things, but – yes, this too may work against him. And I'm pretty sure he's looking at it from the standpoint of, I do all this stuff, I should get paid for doing all these things. Well, San Francisco is probably looking at it like, yes, you are right in a sense, but what if we take you away from all of these other things that just make you a wide receiver? Then that's what we're basically paying you. That's what our projection is. Our projection isn't, you know, because we know eventually you can't do all of this stuff. Eventually, after probably next season, we're going to have to taper all that. That's like a wide receiver. Me, for instance, I started off a special teams guy, you know, played wide receiver, but they brought me in to be their special teams guy. When I became a starter, what happened? Slowly. Listen, Mike was like, Mike Hammerdy, we can't have him doing special teams. He's our best receiver, so we can't afford for him to get hurt. So what happened? They started peeling my duties away. Justin McCarron, Eddie Berlin became the punt returner and the kickoff returner. I was only inserted in special situations. That's what's going to eventually happen to Deebo Samuel. is they're going to pull him away from these things because why? He's the best receiver they have. So San Fran is want to pay him based on what they believe he will do moving forward. Moving forward, he will be a receiver. That's it. So does he deserve his money? Absolutely, he deserves his money. But what is that number? Well, it's something north of $21 million, $22 million.
I think that's the really tricky part about trying to figure out what he's worth because nobody does what he does. Mm-hmm. He ran the ball 59 times last year, not including the playoffs, where they had three playoff games, right? He ran the heck out of the ball in the playoffs, too. Take a look. I'm looking at it here. Who ran the second most times as a wide receiver? What do you think? He 59 for Samuel. What's the next most that a receiver had running the ball?
What do you think, Darren? I would say 15.
Yeah.
15? Mm-hmm. That's a good guess. 18 is the number.
Okay.
It was Moore. Rondell Moore from Arizona, the rookie. 18 carries for 76 yards. Now, Debo had 59 for 365 and 8 touchdowns running the ball. And in Football Outsiders, he was also the 13th most efficient pass catcher. So far and away, his numbers are better than, I think just when you look at that, than A.J. Brown or McLaurin or DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
He's the best of the four for sure. But you're right. I think that came out. I listened to a really interesting podcast, the MMQB. We have Connor Orr on from time to time. They got into this discussion about all four guys. But apparently, Debo Samuel just doesn't want to play for the 49ers. And I'm not really sure why. Like Kyle Shanahan and the way he uses guys, it seems like he's come up with something really unique for him. I would think you'd want to stay with that and not go into a different system. But Connor Orr did make this point. The Jets run a similar Kyle Shanahan type of offense. And so maybe they're the ones that jump in there and pay extra to get them.
But they don't have Kyle Shanahan.
They don't have Kyle Shanahan, and they don't have as good a quarterback right now. I wouldn't think.
No, he's not better than Garoppolo.
Not right now. No. We'll see if he gets any better. They do have the draft picks and the money to put together a package that could sign Debo and compensate the 49ers. So that's something to look at. But it's interesting, just because Samuel is so much different used and effectively used, mm-hmm. he's almost like unlike any other player in the league.
Yeah. He's kind of like what Cordarrell Patterson was mm-hmm. for Atlanta this year, but other than he didn't have any of the receiving stuff, I mean, he wasn't a number one receiver like Debo is, right? Debo was the number one receiver and the number one running back for San Francisco with their injuries, right?
And you rarely
when do you ever see that?
Yeah, you rarely see. Now, you may see a running back, you know, i.e. Carolina's running back, McCaffrey, where he was the, you know, best runner, but he caught the most passes. He wasn't necessarily the best receiver, but he caught the most passes.
Out of the backfield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that situation, it Debo obviously doesn't want to be in San Fran for whatever reason. And he's making it known now. We've seen, you know, other receivers make it known that, hey, listen, I need a new deal or I want to go somewhere else. When does it come to a point, or if it ever comes to that point where, you know, first is Debo, because these guys they hang out, they got the same agent, versus Debo, and then it's AJ. Or first is Debo, then it's DK, then it's AJ. These are the things that I'm pretty sure the Titans are thinking about. Like, okay, Debo then came out, and this is what he's demanding a trade. He's putting stuff out on, well, not necessarily him, but there's stuff out on, you know, behind the scene negotiations. So, who's next to demand a trade? Will it be DK or will it be AJ? Which one of these guys?
This is something that was discussed. I tried to absorb all the things that were coming out of this thing. And one theme that we've discussed some, but I think it might be the most important thing that these wide receivers are pushing for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What happens to a lot of players? They have great years when they're maybe not making the peak money. Then they get to the point where they can make that big, big contract as an unrestricted free agent, but they're past their prime. And then a couple of years in, it gets to be like a Julio Jones. You're getting paid big money, but you're not living up to what you did 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and so you get cut. So I think what these guys want to do is they want to get the big money as they're getting their peak years of their career. Like, these guys have all put 3 years in, mm-hmm. right? Like, Deebo Samuel, he got thrown the ball over 100 times last year, and he carried 59 times. That's a lot of touches. It's a lot of hits, a lot of wear and tear. He's 26. So I think he wants, just, and I think A.J. Brown's got a similar thinking, pay me now while I'm in my prime. You'll get the best years I've got left.
You want the dollars.
And you won't be wanting to cut me in the middle of the thing.
You want the dollars to match up to your best years.
Right.
So if they're going to pay me $22 million for the next 3 years, well, the next 3 years will be my years where I'm reaching my peak.
Exactly.
I am inclining. I'm on the incline. I'm not declining.
It's a good point, but I can tell you why there's probably a counterpoint to that, mm-hmm. from general managers around the league. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Paul. Don't forget our draft coverage next Thursday and Friday. Looking forward to that. Titans currently pick 26 in the first round. First round will be on Thursday evening. And our draft coverage is presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. Be listening starting next Thursday. There'll be a third and home, which was directly next door to where we were yesterday at First Horizon Park, Germantown's Bar, with a ballpark. You can watch all of our live coverage on the draft at the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So you bring up an interesting point, both of you. Like, okay, like I get all that. Like, why do it now while they're young and they should be able to live up to everything, and it's a win-win for everybody. They get paid, you get the results, and that's fantastic. But then there's the general managers with hard salary caps that are going, yeah, well, that's great. Well, the CBA says I don't have to do that just because you want it. That I don't have to do that. Why would we accelerate the process? The whole point, we say this all the time. Well, the reason they're doing all the winning is because they've got this guy on a rookie contract and this guy on a rookie contract. So what? So now everybody that comes out and right out of the gates is really good, they're going to be like, okay, I don't want my rookie contract anymore. I want a new deal. Well, how's that going to work out for teams? Because then you can no longer get the kiss of the rookie contracts, right? Having guys on the cheap before you have to decide whether you're going to keep them and pay them big bucks or send them on their way, whether it's just you let them hit the market or you make a trade. However, I mean, isn't that the battle of the baseball? We've used all those examples and hockey. Isn't that what they battle? But they have more control. Mm-hmm. Think about it. They have more control over these guys than football does. And they tend to still hold on. I mean, how many of these stories have we had where this guy in baseball, Willie, you know this, they're a superstar. Everybody can see it. And teams just keep them down in the minors. You know why? Not because they can't help them at the major league level. They're like, we don't want to start the process yet. We want to keep you on the cheap. We want to hold you down.
Well, that's
so they
why.
Don't buckle. And those guys can help them then. They can help them at 19. Mm-hmm. They can help them at 20. They can help them at 21, but instead they keep getting pushed down. Like, hey, we'll get to you soon. Don't worry, we'll get to you soon.
Well, that was one reason I believe that going into collective bargaining the last time that these owners and GMs were like, listen, you know, we want to be able to build a team based upon the people that we draft and not stuck with them. Because before the collective bargaining, you saw these quarterbacks getting money as if, and just players, period, getting money as if they played, you know, 4 or 5 seasons and balled out 4 or 5 seasons. And then the teams, and if there were a bust, the teams were stuck with them. Stuck with a big cap hit for a first or second or third year guy. So they said, no, we can't keep having this. Just imagine had the collective bargaining not ended, what the salaries would be now. It would be really, really great for players had it not ended, had they not changed it. But they found out, listen, in order to continue to build our teams, and I'm not saying I agree with it, because as a player, you know, I was on the other end fighting against it. But these owners are saying, in order for me to build a team, I have to be able to do it via the draft and do it for a 2 or 3 year period without having to break the bank on, you know, guys that haven't been proven. If I'm going to break the bank, then it's going to be with guys that have been proven in the NFL. And they changed it.
I don't see that this is a big change in the philosophy of a team, though.
No.
When you're going into the last year of your contract, that's generally when you're selecting the guys that you're ready to build around. Mm-hmm. You're hoping to have a few of these guys. It's a good problem if you have too many of them. But right
now,
we know
you don't
want to
pay them right off the bat.
Well, you don't pay them, but they're not. They've had 3 years of the rookie contract of A.J. Brown, a second year,
yeah,
a second round draft pick, mm-hmm, for 3 years, and he's given them really good numbers for a second round pick. He's become their number one receiver, so it's natural that you would want to lock him up as he heads into the final year of his contract. You know what I'm saying? So this, mm-hmm, is the timing, but I think what's different is the wide receivers are understanding how important they are in the grand scheme of things. Those number one wide receivers drive so much, even though A.J. Brown's numbers aren't great. As we pointed out, if you just look at them,
they're
on a
numbers
page, they're good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a driver of the offense. Derrick Henry is the driver of the offense, but A.J. Brown is an important cog, mm-hmm, right? He's a guy they just have not had. And so they know they've got to have him. Mm-hmm. They know he's worth a lot. There's just that fine line of what is the number. I think they want to give him a healthy raise, but it's just this
it's
push.
The 0 to 100.
Now here's
that's
right.
That's literally what they're asking him to. They're asking the Titans to do. We need you to go from 0 to 100.
Well,
like
let's take McLaurin. If there's ever a guy that could sit there and go, you know what,
you're nothing without me.
You're
it's nothing without me. Yeah.
Because he
is.
They
there.
Have nobody.
Yeah.
The quarterback's throwing him the ball. They've been below average. They don't have a very good team. Their organization is a mess.
Gibson's a pretty good running back.
He's a guy that
he's not Derrick Henry.
But he is a guy that could walk in there and say, you know what, I want out of here, man.
Yeah, sure.
I want out. But he's kept his mouth shut. But I'm really curious to see what happens to him because, man, they're lucky to have that guy.
Yeah. On our text line, unnamed texter says, that's not true, Darren, about baseball. You got guys like Acuna, he got paid. Tatis, he got paid. Guerrero Jr., Wander Franco, all of them got called up at 19 or 20. If you're good enough, they will call you up. But the difference is those teams decided, those first two examples, to give them the contract. Now, they went different ways with it. Atlanta says, okay, Acuna, we'll give you a deal right now and guarantee you $100 million. And he said, fine. Which, when he signed it, was like, ooh. Like, he's crazy to have signed that. But he did it. So he signed a $100 million deal. Now, Tatis, it was a no-brainer. What did San Diego give him? $300-plus million? Right?
Yes.
They gave him $300. Like, that's a no-brainer. They chose to go on and give him. It would be like the Titans going, A.J. Brown, here's $30 million a year. Well, yeah, he's signing. Case closed. It's over. But how about all the examples of baseball where they don't get that? And they don't get called up. They get held down to a certain period, so it doesn't count for another year. That happens all the time and has been going on for decades.
And it may not always be the smart thing. It is a risk. Mm-hmm. Baseball, you have control of the guy for, what, 6-7 years before he can become unrestricted. Mm-hmm. But what these teams are doing, especially lower-budget teams, and the Braves would be more of a middle-class team, right? But the Rays with Wander Franco is the extreme. They signed him to an 11-year deal at age 21. They just brought him up last year. He really hasn't played much. He played like three-quarters of the season last year, maybe? Mm-hmm. 11 years, $182 million. See, that's a leap of faith.
Yeah, these guys just got paid. That's
he hasn't done it yet.
They got paid. So, of course, they've been called up because the team's buckled and just said, fine, we'll give you this contract. We'll hope and pray that this all works out. We'll go on and give it to you now. Except for the Acuna deal. Like, the Acuna deal is the exception where the Braves are going to make out. They already have. I mean, I get it. He tore his ACL last year, and he only played half a season, and he was not a part of their playoff success. But who's kidding who? When that contract, what was it, 8 years, $100 billion? Like, that contract is already a joke. And will be a joke for probably the rest of that contract. It'll be a joke. But the rest of them, it's a leap of faith, is it not? Like Tatis, as much as he's already hurt this year. He's starting off, he's going to miss several months into the season. Like, I get it. It could just be this will be the only time this happens. But, I mean, $340 million contract for a guy who hasn't done it, even if you think he's really, really special, is a leap of faith.
It's a big leap of faith, mm-hmm. and it's guaranteed. Every dollar is guaranteed for baseball. You think in baseball with a position player, there's less risk of the injury. That's what's different about football or even hockey. Hockey, some teams are doing this too. They're going with the full 8 years for young players like Jack Hughes or Miro Heiskanen and some other guys. They're giving them the big money, feeling like they're going to get good value over the length of the contract.
But it's
at
a
young age.
All of it.
Of course it is.
All of it's a crapshoot for sure, but I think sometimes you feel like it's a smarter buy than to wait until a guy sort of passes his prime and then pay him for what he's done in the past when you're not getting the best years.
Yeah.
It's Freddie Freeman. That's the decision the Braves made. They decided to go with the younger guy. And this just in, Freddie Freeman's been good for the Dodgers. Matt Olson has been really good for the Braves. So
it's a win-win.
For now. It's a month, not even a month in. It's got a long ways to go, but we'll see. So John Robinson was asked about, you know, a possible A.J. Brown trade. And listen to his words when we come back, Derek, and we'll react to that, okay? There's one specific word that he says that we brought up yesterday. It's like, I thought it was really smart for him to say that, but we'll get your thoughts to close out hour number one of the DDC next. Jared asking John Robinson, see any scenario where A.J. Brown is traded before the draft, which begins next Thursday? The key word there, and we brought this up yesterday, Derek, Will and I were talking about this at First Horizon Park, I do not foresee that happening, which quite honestly is the right word to use. It's the right way to go about it because, well, I guess not. I mean, if it was not a no but a hell no, and he came out and just said, look, I'm going to just stop this. I'm going to nip this in the bud right now. Okay, I know this is a pre-draft presser, and I know you're going to keep peppering me with A.J. Brown questions. He's not going anywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care what's written. I don't care what's said. He's not going anywhere. He could have done that. He didn't, and I don't think that's smart either. I guess we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? Like he knows the conversations behind the scenes, and he, you know, and there's a reason probably why he didn't do that. And I think it's the right way to go about it to say that because anything could happen. We've seen it over and over again where players now. Look, if they want out, they're going to force their way out. Like that's not just football. It's any sport, but it's definitely been the trend in football, right? Oh, you don't want to get rid of me? I want out. I'm going to make your life miserable. You're going to trade me. You're going to get me out of here.
Well, I mean,
why don't you think John Robinson didn't say that?
Because this is the reason. Because he's looking around at the NFL now, and he understands what's going on. He understands that no matter how bad I may want to keep you, it takes two to tangle. Mm-hmm. And if I come to the table and present a deal that I believe is a strong deal and you still say no to it.
A strong ass offer, Derek?
Excuse me?
Well,
yes.
I'm just repeating what was on the FBI tapes.
Exactly. Absolutely. And then you still say no.
I like Willie's. Whoa.
I just didn't know you repeated word for word. I remember the tape.
Will Wade. I'm just.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
He said it. Yeah. It was on tape.
Those were his words.
So, you know, the attitude and the demeanor and the position these players are in now. So you can't just say, come out and say that it's a definite. Everything has a what if to it in sports. And John understands that. So as bad as he may want to keep AJ, he and Vrabel, and I'm sure they do, he understands that the league is taking a turn. It's becoming what basketball is now. And it's good for the players. I'm not fussing about it, but he understands it. So he can't sit here and give you a definite unless the deal is already in place and the signature is already on the paper. Then he can say he's definitely going to be here. But now he's saying, I don't foresee. And what does that mean? It means you're not aware of something beforehand. You can't predict, you know, what's going to happen. So that gives him wiggle room. That gives him leeway to say, hey, listen, if it does happen, I said I didn't foresee it. I didn't say it wasn't going to happen. Because, again, he understands that no matter what we do as a organization, A.J. Brown still has the ability to say, I want to get traded or he doesn't sign the deal. And we have a cutoff point as an organization. So A.J. deserves to get paid. I get it. But the organization, they deserve to, you know, pay them what they feel he's worth. And I've always said that you're only worth as much as the organization wants to pay you. And if you don't think that what the organization is offering is good enough, then you have a choice. And your choice is to say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm a holdout. I will be back for the last 6 or 7 games so I can become an unrestricted free agent. And then I will test the market after that. You can say that. You can do that as a player.
You can. Is that the smartest thing, though?
It may not be the smartest thing, but you have that.
You have the right.
You have the right to do that.
You do.
So John is not going to lock himself. He's not going to be Vrabel. Vrabel basically, you might as well say AJ was his son. The way he spoke about him, and that's great. That's what a head coach is supposed to do when you're trying to sign someone. But John understands that, listen, it's almost like the good cop, bad cop thing. It's like, man, listen, I can't go there. Where you going, Vrabel? I can't go there because I'm the one that's negotiating the contract, right. Not you. Mm-hmm.
You're the one that's got to draw the line and do the cap and all the
and
math.
And Vrabel understands that.
Right.
Okay, this is what I will do. Because I know eventually you are the one that's signing the contract. You got to get it going. So I can say I want him here no matter what. But then, you know, John is saying, okay, I hear you. And we discussed this, so I got to be on the other end. I don't foresee us trading him, or I don't foresee us not having him, but. Cause what always comes after that foresee? But you go to the dealership. I don't foresee your car breaking down, but it could happen. Just be aware.
Can I interest you in a warranty?
Exactly. You know, you go to the doctor. I'm giving you this antibiotic or whatever. Yeah. I don't foresee anything else happening, but watch your blood pressure. Don't drink. Don't eat too much. Don't put too much salt on your stuff because it can, you know, your blood pressure can go back up.
All right. So let's try to look at the sweet spot. You had the Debo conversation that got out that we played yesterday.
By the way, we're going to have Lorenzo Neal coming up in San Francisco to
start
the second hour. So be listening. Low Neal coming up at 11 o'clock.
So you have something to the effect of the Titans have offered 20, don't want to go past 20. Mm-hmm. In terms of, I guess, $20 million, that would be the guaranteed cap number they would play out next year. I don't know, how do we define exactly $20 million? You had our spot track guy saying 22 is about right. So don't we really have the parameters? Don't we think if they've offered around 20, you're kind of in the ballpark. That's not that far from getting a deal done. We've talked about this with Forsberg a lot. The Forsberg deal isn't done. You got to figure they can't be that far off with all of the analysis we've done of all the comparables and things like that.
But it's far enough to not get them a deal done.
Exactly. And that's where I'm wondering where it is with A.J. Brown now. Like, what does he want? If the Titans are saying, if that's true, that, hey, they're not going past 20. We got our spot track analysis guy saying 22 is about right. And you've got maybe the pie in the sky, hit the home run, is about 25.
Mm-hmm.
So how far apart are they, I guess?
And that's the you know, 20-something million dollar question. And I was listening to TD yesterday, and he made a really good point. Why do these young men or women think that everything needs to be public that you do? Everything needs to be public. Some things need to be just between you
and
the agent, mm-hmm. the team, your parents, whoever.
Well, it was with Debo's mom. It was.
Well, it really wasn't. It was, but it wasn't because, again, you don't have everything you do in regards to sports don't need to be publicized. You know, some things need to be, and then players are always complaining, let me have my peace, let me have my privacy. Well, hell, you throwing your privacy and your peace out on social media.
Mom.
Yeah.
How would you feel
the two
if
P's.
Debo's mom.
Privacy and peace, you throwing it on social media.
Derek, how would you mm-hmm. feel if you were A.J. Brown?
Oh, I'd be pissed. I would be upset, especially if I didn't know. Now, if I did know it, it's calculated, so I can't say anything about it. But if I didn't know, I would be really upset.
That is interesting. Do we think he knew that?
I don't know.
That was going to go out.
I don't know.
Great question.
But if you knew, why then? Again, some things should be kept private. Because it's not. I don't know what people think. Do you think that's going to help you?
I don't think it helps.
If a team wants to sign you, they want to sign you.
It may not hurt at the end of the day, but it doesn't help.
Does scrubbing your account of your employer help?
No.
No,
not really.
Having cryptic tweets help?
No.
So far, we've kind of gone through the steps. I mean, really, whether they were calculated or not, none of these steps really seem to help the situation. My guess is they probably just make John Robinson question things even more. Like, do we really want to get into a big contract with somebody that maybe now I'm starting to wonder, is this going to be a headache or a problem, a distraction moving forward? I mean, you'd have to admit he's got to at least think that behind closed doors.
I hope he does, in a sense. It's like, you know, when DJ was 3 or 4 and he would do something mischievous through the house and – you know, we would tell him, DJ, go in your room, sit in your room for a while. And DJ would get upset, just about like any other kid would do, and start, you know, pulling his books down and making a bunch of noise and messing up his bed. And I would walk in there like, do you think this is helping your cause? You think you're going to come out the room? You know, it's making it worse because you're going to have to clean up all this stuff. And you know what? After a while, he stopped doing it. Because he knew he had to clean it all up, and it wasn't going to help him. It was going to hurt him more than help. I hope these guys start to realize that listen, all this mess you're causing, do you really think it's going to help? Because at the end, if we do sign you back, now you got to go back on social media. Oh, I love this team. I love my team, my players, my organization. Man, shut the hell up.
All right. That's where we need to stop right there. We'll come back. Low Neal. You do not want to miss Lorenzo Neal. He will kick off the second hour next.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.